We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today. When you donate blood at the Blood Mobile as it visits Brewster's Ice Cream in Hanover, they give you a free pint of ice cream for having donated blood. The last time I donated there, now normally the people that attend to you in these mobiles are very winsome people. I'm sure they screen them for their people skills and so on, and they make you feel comfortable, you have a conversation, and so, but it wasn't that way the last time that I donated there. These two young ladies were totally caught up in their own little world. They had a conversation going on. They didn't say anything directly to me other than, roll up your sleeve, that kind of thing. And as they got the blood flowing a little bit, one young lady turned on the radio and she began to sing out loud, "American Woman." And she was just a little bit off key while she was singing. And I said to the lady, my phlebotomist, I said, "If she's going to sing, I want an extra pint of ice cream." My humor was not well received. I could tell that I had offended both of these young ladies. You really don't want to offend a person that's sucking blood out of your arm. Can you say uncomfortable? Well, uncomfortable would be a good description for how many of the worshipers felt whenever they visited the church in Corinth. Things got out of hand. Too many people were talking all at once, and a lot of them were speaking in other languages to boot. And then some were trying to pretty much preach a sermon from where they were sitting, and it was kind of like a free-for-all. As Paul had said, in chapter 11, verse 17, your meetings do more harm than good. So he writes chapter 14 to try and put some order to what is spiritual. There is a practical side to spirituality. You can't forget that. Some churches have, but you want to remember that side of it. There's a human side. There's a connective side that we need to be cognizant of. That's why 1 Corinthians 14 was written. He says there, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Father, help us today with all of this. There seems to be a theme running in this morning's service of hurting people who need the help of God. And show us how this fits into that theme, dear God. How we connect as a body. How healing comes. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. It strikes me that Rambos do not win battles. Rambos do not win wars. It takes an army. It takes people working together using their gifts for the strengthening of the whole. And that's basically what Paul is saying to this church. As we've seen in other studies in this book, and it's repeated here in our text, spiritual gifts are given to an individual in order to benefit the whole church. This is for everybody. As I mentioned Wednesday night, I used to work for my Uncle Bob, and we would deliver and repair appliances. And he would often have me hold the flashlight for him while he was looking at little wires or trying to connect something. And very often he would say to me, "Hold the flashlight so I can see, not so you can see." And it's amazing how true that little saying is, because sometimes I would be watching what he's doing, but I could see, but he, I'm having you hold the light for my good, not for yours. And spiritual gifts work much the same way. God is not giving them to us so that we would be tickled, so that our spiritual ego would be boosted. If I'm granted the use of a spiritual gift in a servant, it isn't so I can enjoy a spiritual experience. It's so everyone can see and hear what the Lord wants to say to the church. This is for us, not for me. If I give a prophecy or speak out in tongues, my motivation has to be for the church. So where's your heart at? Is there pride there? Is there, you know, you want to stand out? Or are you just, are there times when you're in the church and you're thinking about others? You just feel a heaviness. You know that there's somebody here who's really in need of a touch from God, and you're being motivated that way. That's a good preamble to being used in the gifts. Maybe you have a burden for people just to be released or relieved or helped by God. So one of the acid tests of, you know, okay, I think I have a word for the body. Well, is it good for the body? Or is it some personal thing that God's speaking to you about? Have you been asking him for some direction? Or is there something you're saying, and this really applies to you? God may well be speaking to you, but it may not be applicable to everyone. One of the rules that Paul lays down is prophecy is greater than tongues unless the tongues are interpreted. Then he says tongues plus interpretation is equal to prophecy. He wants everybody to understand what God is saying. No highfalutin stuff, just down to earth, good, solid, yes. Everybody can say amen to that. Everybody can receive it. If somebody's speaking in other tongues, nobody has any idea what they're saying unless it's interpreted. Then everybody can say, oh, yes, amen, that's true. Thank you, God, that is clear. I can use that. Tongues without an interpretation is an exercise in personal worship at the expense of the whole. I'm drawing attention to myself, drawing your attention away from your worship with the Lord, and you're wondering, what was that all about? But if it's interpreted, then you know. After all, we didn't come to church to watch one person have a glory fit. Boy, Chuck, he sure was blessed in church today, wasn't he? He really had a time. Well, it's not all about Chucky. Prophecy is so valuable because it's speaking on behalf of God. Words are so powerful. They can cheer you up. They can bring you down. They can move you. And a word from God always is that arrow right at the center of your heart. That's exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly what I needed to know. And as we're gathered together as a body, there are times when the Lord will inspire someone to speak something out, and it will catch the ear of the rest of us for our encouragement and strengthening and comfort. It's a good thing to hear. It's why we came. Now, why would God use different vessels? Well, think of us as an orchestra, and there are different instruments there. Some people just have a way of saying certain things that it has a ring to it that somebody else could not mimic. And God chooses his vessel. He chooses what he wants to say, and he brings it in his timing and in his way. Excuse me. God is full of surprises, and his timing is impeccable. Preaching is a form of prophecy. I seek the Lord. I hope that when I come into the pulpit, I have a sense of what he wants to say to the body. That in one way or another, I was led to this moment, to this text for this day. And with his inspiration and his help, I can pour out what he wants to say to the body, and we can drink that in and take it as being from the Lord. However, a spiritual gift of prophecy falls suddenly It's not rehearsed. There's no notes about it. It hasn't been prior thinking. You know what? This Sunday, I think this is what I'm going to say. When there's an opening, I'm going to interject this into the moment. No, it's an inspiration that falls. A spiritual gift falls suddenly. It's impactful on the person. You feel so moved to act in this way. And then you trust God that the message that you have is relevant. It is what God has for that day. Whenever God has used me in a word of prophecy or to interpret tongues, I will often get just the first couple of words. Just the first, because God knows my memory stinks. If He gave it all, I'd mess it up. He gives me the first couple words, and I feel an impression of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're to, and I'll often just wait a moment and say, well, Lord, if you can use somebody else, if you want to use someone, please do. And you know, just wait that moment. When somebody else does speak out, I've noticed they don't use the first couple words that I would have used, but the gist of what they're saying is what I would have said. I have the same impression from the Holy Spirit. I've talked to other people who have been used in interpretation or in prophecy, and to them, it falls all. You know, they understand what God wants to say, and they put it in their own words. Now, this is how they would describe it. When I speak out, I have those first couple of words. It's somewhat scary because I have no idea where I'm going or how it's going to land. I'm just as curious as anybody else in the building, where is He going with this? And there are times when God has given me some very odd first words to say, and I'm like, dude. And when it lands, I'm like, dude, that was good. And I know I there's no way I would have started out with point A to land at Z. But God has a way of putting these things together. And if you're interested in being used in the gifts, know that He's a gentle shepherd. Avail yourself. Hey, God, I would be willing. I don't need to use me, but if ever we're in a place where you would like to interject, I will be open to that, God. And you'll go through these mental gymnastics. We always like to say, there will be a break. There will be an opening. There will be a moment when you know you can go ahead and speak out. It won't be an interruption to anything. It will fit in with the flow of the service. And often when we've been praying, God, I'm willing to be used, we feel an urgency from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I want to use you today. And then there's that opening and we say, I'm going to count to 25. And if it's still an opening, then I will, 25, well, maybe 35. Maybe I'll count to 35, you know. And we just wrestle with ourselves. Relax. Take a deep breath. The world's not going to end if you miss an opportunity. If it did, the world would have ended a long time ago. This is an opportunity for the Lord to shine through. You've been praying to be used. You feel an urgency. There is an opening. Go ahead and take a step of faith and trust that the Lord will be there and see you through. You know, many people are shy, backward. Maybe the right word would be humble. Lord, I'm not worthy to be used. Newsflash, nobody is. It's not about worthy, it's about willing. Are you willing? Is your heart right with God? Then go ahead and step out and be used of the Lord. It's a valuable experience for others. Paul goes on to explain that those who speak out loudly in other tongues, they're not doing the body any good because nobody knows what they're saying. So if you just okay, wow. But there are churches and there are people who really get who really feel blessed. I was going to say get blessed, but I say feel blessed. There's a difference between being blessed and feeling blessed. And some people get all caught up in, we had a prophecy in church today. Woohoo, God spoke to us. What'd He say? I don't remember, but we had a prophecy in church, and four people spoke in other tongues, and there was an interpretation. It was amazing. Four? Yeah. It was, wow, it was, the place was on fire. Well, what did they say? I don't know, but we had four people speak out in other tongues. It is not about that. What did God have to say? And you know, when you come to church, a lot of times it's like panning for gold. You get a couple nuggets. You know, maybe the whole service wasn't all that for you, but you know what God said to you. And you know when God touched you during the service. And you got your gold nugget for the day. And that's what was powerful in your life. Hear what God is saying. Apply what God is saying to you. Verse 3 says that prophecy is for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Woo-hoo. If you could come to church and be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted, how powerful is that? If you could be the instrument God uses to strengthen, encourage, or comfort somebody else, would you be willing to do that? Have you ever said to somebody, hey, if there's anything I can do, you let me know. God is letting us know there is something you can do. You could be used in the spiritual gifts in such a way as to bring strength, encouragement, or comfort to somebody else. Oh, but I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to, I. Now, well, would you be willing to help somebody if you could? You felt that as I have. You've been to a funeral. You've looked into the eyes of somebody you love and you see the hurt there. And you long for there to be something you can say or do that would help them. If you could bring some strength, encouragement, or comfort. And sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts you to do just that. You say something and it strikes home. It means something to them. It's valuable. And as we gather together, and that's a good, you know, does what I have to say, is this really from God? Well, will it strengthen, encourage, and or comfort somebody? Is it that tone? That's the right tone. We have some people that come to church all ready to rebuke everybody. They're, you know, hellfire and brimstone from the pew. And, you know, I'm the only one who's really saved, and the rest of you better get your act together. And, Paul said, Strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Not harsh, divisive, and unsettling. Verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Now, he's saying that not in a good way. Boy, you guys come loaded for bear when you come to church. You all have something different in mind. One of you comes with a hymn, another with a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. You can see how it would be competing. Get their word in. Hey, they didn't sing my hymn. Hey, we didn't get over to what I thought should happen today. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak. One at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So the verses just before these also tell us we need to be cognizant of any unsaved believers that might be visiting the church. He lays down the basic rule, freak not thine visitors. They don't understand. They haven't been in a lot of spiritual stuff, you know, Pentecostal stuff. So freak not thine visitors. It's all right to be aware of who else is in the building. It's all right to be aware of who we're bringing along slowly, who might be a tender plant in the soil of the gospel. Now, experience has taught me I'm a poor judge of what is going to bless somebody and what won't bless somebody. It's very important to try to walk in the presence, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit as closely as we possibly can. In these verses, we see that Paul lays down some rather common sense rules. Two or at the most three should speak in tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. That's put a cap on it. You could see the Corinthians coming to church and how many of them would be speaking in other. And I have heard of churches who explain this away. You know, No. Two, at the most three, that would be sufficient. We come together, people have an opportunity to share what the Lord has laid on their heart, but we're doing this thing together as a team. You need to feel safe when you come to church. You need to feel unified when you come in before the Lord. You need to feel confident that what's going on is of God, and we'll get there together, and there is some kind of control, there's some kind of understanding of authority. There will be safety as we come together as a church. And usually, one word of prophecy is more than enough. One tongues and interpretation is plenty. Sometimes there will be others to piggyback on that, that add strength to it, that bring color to it, and that's all good. But when we get to the place where, and we can literally, how many can count to three? One, two, maybe we should have cards up front. One, that's one, that's one, that was two. Okay, here comes, that was third, you know. You can count to three. You might have the feeling, well, they didn't get it right just yet. I need to, no, you don't. It's all right just to obey Scripture. You know what? I'll just take my word home with me. I didn't get it in, but it's all right. I'd rather obey Scripture than confuse the body or stretch, you know. And I know it's not hard, fast, two or at the most three, you know. But it's okay just to obey Scripture, that there might be order, that there might be confidence throughout the body. There ought to be a theme that runs through each service that's congruent. The worship, the word that is preached. It ought to fit together the prophecy that comes. Whether the prophecy is before the message, after the message, what have you. You'll notice that the Holy Spirit has one theme. It'll seem as though we all got together before the service and planned it out. Here's the theme. I want you to sing about this, and I'll talk about that, and we'll all be good. Ready, break. But we just leave that up to the Holy Spirit. And He has a way of putting all the pieces together. I think if we can paraphrase a lot of what Paul tells us here in chapter 14, it would be, don't get carried away. The Holy Spirit's not going to have competing messages. He's going to work in unity. Just don't get carried away. There's something spiritual about common sense. Again, sometimes God suspends our common sense. You know, lift your staff up and the water will be divided. Whatever. Go talk to the rock over there. Okay. But by and large, there's a lot to be said for common, just don't get carried away. Again, some people, they think carried away is spiritual. And you know me, I like a good shout every once in a while. I get excited sometimes in the presence of the Lord. But you have to be aware, I'm not alone in this place. How does this fit into the body? Does this minister to all, or does this minister to one? Verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak, and others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Why do we need to weigh carefully what is being said if it's coming from God? Well, it may be coming from God, but it's coming through a person. People are fallible. You may not have noticed that, but people can get messed up. People can misunderstand, miscommunicate, misspeak. get overly emotional or what have you. We should weigh carefully what is said. If it's from God, our first test would be, well, let's see. Paul said it would strengthen, encourage, or comfort. Is that what this word is doing? Okay, well, if it is, this maybe God is speaking to us here. And we come to hear from God, so when he speaks, we ought to listen. Maybe we hear it and we say, I don't think that applies to me. And you might think a little, I think, but I know the person who said it, boy, it really applies to them. And so you can discern, well, God is speaking to them, but they misunderstood that it was for all of us when they're the one that needs to hear that. And that's okay. That's sometimes these things happen. If it's just plain wrong, well, then maybe we need to address it. Maybe the pastor or somebody needs to step forward and say, we appreciate your contribution, but what you just said, we want to be careful about because the scriptures tell us this or that. You don't want to give the wrong impression to somebody or let confusion rest on everybody. It may need to be addressed. Usually, most everybody knows whether it's right and flowing in the same direction or not. We need to weigh what is said, apply what is true, discard what is not. Verse 32 has saved the church untold grief. Prophets are subject to their own control. You are never out of control when you're working under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He may very powerfully come on you. It may feel wonderful. It may be very strong, but you always have some part of control. You can always step out of that. You can always determine what you will or will not say. You have an opportunity. You are in control. People will sometimes do some wild things. I couldn't help myself. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Liar, liar, pants on fire, eating your curds and whey. It says right here. You could have helped yourself. You weren't out of control. We had a case of a woman when we first got started where the library is today in East Berlin. That's where our church was. And we had these wooden pews, yellow pine, very strong, very strong. God bless those old pews. We had a woman who, when she got excited, she would get up and she would run the length of the pew back and forth, whooping and hollering. And then she would fall back into that pew and it would ricky rocky because we didn't have them anchored down. Ricky rock, plum, 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 plum. And I mean, that's all that anybody knew was happening was she just got blessed. And I'm sure, she was a sincere, lovely woman that loved God. And the wife and I visited them one day and just sat down and said, when that happens, it really distracts everybody else from their worship. It doesn't really draw everybody to it. It's just kind of, and I would appreciate if you would just curtail that a little bit. I believe you were blessed. I'm sure God is touching you, but you need to express it in a little different way that is, And her husband, who would always sit there like a rock, I mean, she was very expressive. He was completely unexpressive. He lit me up. And, you have no idea when the Holy Spirit comes on her, she has to, she doesn't have to. See, that's what I'm saying. The scriptures are saying, I hate to tell you, but they left the church never look back. I was sorry for that. As a young pastor, you think to yourself, I blew it. I did something wrong here. We had a family that was coming in. And now we don't have that family coming anyway. That's not what we're trying to do, right? But let the scripture stand. If we're not teachable, then what was all the hooping and hollering about? If it didn't tenderize our heart, if it didn't open our ears to what God is saying, what spirit were we really open to? So yeah, you will wrestle with yourself. You will ask, is this appropriate? Is this right? Because you are responsible. And, you will learn. You will make mistakes sometimes. Just own them. It's all right. And learn and grow and move on. The people used in spiritual gifts are not in a trance, not helpless in the hands of the Holy Spirit. The use of spiritual gifts is a cooperative effort between the Holy Spirit and the individual. There's always a risk when you're used of God. You feel led of the Lord to pray for somebody or to witness to them. So you take that risk. Do you mind if I pray for you? And usually it pays off pretty good. Sometimes you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have. That's part of faith. I step out in faith. It's a cooperative effort. I learn. I go back to God. I've gone to God and said, I'm really disappointed in the way that turned out. You didn't back me up, God. I don't know if you've ever tried to straighten God out. He doesn't take it real well because he's always right. And then he shows me, okay, now learn. This is how, we're not going to repeat this again. We're going to do it this way. Okay, God, thank you. I appreciate that. And then we can move on together. The person can stop speaking if someone else starts. They can obey a directive from the pulpit. This has probably never happened in this church, but maybe you've been in another church where you just felt like the guy should have shut up. Okay, we got it all. We should have gone home a while ago. Or somebody gets up and they start talking and you think, well, that was good, but that's enough. And they kind of get excited and then they just keep going on and on and on. You know? Sometimes enough is enough. And we need to be under control. We need to say what God would have us to say. There's an anointing in shutting up sometimes. I'm glad I didn't get an amen on that one. But knowing when to shut up is as important as knowing when to speak up. And just let the, you know, you can be, you when you're used of God, it's very enjoyable. But it's not for our enjoyment. That makes sense? I may be enjoying this, but it's not just so I can enjoy it. It's so that work can get done. And when the work is done, I need to shut up. When the work is done, I need to walk off stage. I need to let it rest there. Spiritual gifts are like tools. You can overuse a tool. If you ever had your tires changed, you know, sometimes they you take it in the shop and they use those ring. Yeah, good luck getting that tire off if you ever have a flat. I used to have Volkswagen Bugs, and if you have the old Bug, and they didn't have lug nuts, they had lug bolts. And so they would really crank those in there. And then Volkswagen gave you a socket and a thin little bar. And you could curl that bar around that side, and that thing would not, if you got one of those guys excited about his new drill. Properly used tools can be a wonderful gift. Improperly used, you can do some harm with them. Spiritual gifts are tools that God gives to us. They must be used under the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and sensitivity to the people that we're ministering to. There's a fine line between fear and sensitivity. And God will help you to discern those two. Am I just afraid to minister, or am I being sensitive to the situation? This is how God would have me to minister today. Only go this far and stop. When ministering in the Holy Spirit, be one of us. Lift us to God. Whet our appetites for more of Him. From time to time, a real spiritual person will visit the church or become part of the body, and they'll take me off to the side as if they want to strategize with me how we're going to reach all the heathen, all you heathens. You know, we are spiritual and they're dead, and here's how we are going to revive them. And I reject that. I rebuke that. That's not God. If you're coming and you're one of us and you're hungry for God, and you want to see us together come closer to God, I'm your brother. We're in this together. But if you're sitting a little above us and you're here to help us, you're here to straighten us out, keep going. Let me give you a brochure for another church. I'm sure they could really use somebody with gifts like you. If it's not out of compassion, if it's not out of a oneness. If it's not out of unity, it's not coming from the Lord in my estimation. The following verse is also key. For God, oh boy, that preacher should have shut up a while ago. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Come on up, worship team. We'll get finished up here. Church was never meant to be a circus. If you don't see elephants, it's not a circus. And stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit. There is an attitude that really makes a difference. All attitudes make a real difference when we're ministering in the Holy Spirit. The last couple verses, 39 and 40. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting, orderly way. Don't do what most churches have done. They said, you know what, that's too complicated. There's too many messy things. There have been too many errors, so let's just not do that anymore. Let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. Nobody speak out of the congregation. Nobody speak out in other tongues. We'll just be really safe here and really antiseptic in this place. No, don't do that. But be sure that everything is done in a fitting and an orderly way. If this is done, seekers will be convicted and saints will be encouraged. Would you stand with me this morning? The more I seek you.